and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
And I'm Brian Keller.
You are not Brian Keller. Who are you, sir?
I am Clint Ruckus, one of your many happy employees.
And we've been down working on this car.
Yes, we've been heads down. We flew back for a nice little meeting, and I got shanghaied into doing This Week on Channel 9.
That's a good term to use. And really, let's get right into
it. Let's do it.
Because while we've been away, Duncan and team have been feverishly at work on Channel 9, which one of the coolest parts is that we are using Azure Traffic Manager.
Yes.
So what that means is when you actually go to Channel 9, you'll see a little blip, a little bubble that lets
otherwise
you know.
Otherwise known as a globe. It's a globe.
Really?
Yeah.
It looked like a little circle.
It's
I don't
a
see a globe. Like
it's
when
globe.
I think globe, I think whatever. So we've had our first fight, and 2 minutes in. It's not a globe, it's a circle. It's a button. We'll have to see what Duncan refers to it as, and he will be the tying vote. The point is, this is all in different data centers, and you can actually see which one data center, and the idea is this should dramatically improve performance.
Yes.
You know,
I think now we're in 6 data centers.
Yeah, so definitely cool stuff, and you know that's one of the challenges with building a site, and not having to do a massive infrastructure or doing something else different. And it really just comes pretty easily by using Azure Traffic Manager.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, like, if you guys think something's happening or it's running slow, just hover over that little button and it'll tell you exactly which data center it's in. And then if it seems weird, tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. So we haven't seen any huge complaints on this stuff, so it seems to be working. So kudos. Now, the all-in-one code framework sample browser. So the idea is this. This is like a rich client for accessing samples that Microsoft has.
Yes. We have tons and tons and tons of samples. So this just helps.
Over 700.
Yeah. Tons.
Sure. Dozens.
And it just helps be a one-stop shop. And the cool thing is if you ever use the Zune player, it mimics that UX very nicely.
Everything's going kind of Metro-ish. It kind of started with Zune, followed onto Windows Phone. So.
Yep, and it's kind of cascading outward now.
Yeah.
You have,
people like
hosted TFS now, has that look, feel.
Yeah, and that's a website.
Yep.
And that has that look and feel. So, cool stuff. Added to your list of downloads to find downloads. Silverlight Toolkit. So this is the September release for Silverlight 5. What's new here?
So what's really new here is all about the 3D application stuff. So it's pretty much like how to apply filters, the modeling, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the one key thing is this is not in the source tree, it looked like, yet, and it's not on the homepage. To access this from CodePlex, you have to go to the Download tab and download it from there.
Okay. And this is by our friend David Coutu, who does a lot of Kinect stuff as well.
Yes.
So check out his write-up on all the new stuff in the Silverlight Toolkit.
Cool.
PetShot. So back in .NET's beginning days, PetShot was one of those examples. It actually started with Pet Store on Java side. So all the different Java vendors would implement this thing, and it was their reference application. So IBM Oracle and I think BEA WebLogic, which I don't think exists today, all built these reference applications. And we decided to build the .NET Pet Shop, and we built it using our best practices. And it was like, you know, a lot faster, a lot more scalable, more whatever. So it still lives on, apparently, in Pet Shop 4. And now the goal really is, this article walks through how they use the migration complexity tool that allows you to actually see how hard it is to migrate your application to existing application
really cool.
Azure.
That's really cool, because then you can see like potentially where the fault, where you may fall over before you actually go to the extreme of
like,
migrating,
you know,
code.
Say there's some weird thing where Azure doesn't support whatever it happens to be.
Yep.
This will at least help you do that. And then really, it seemed like a painless migration to Windows Azure.
Yeah, it sounded like they did it in 3 steps, according to the blog post.
Yeah. And no more than 20 minutes if you're familiar and have an account set up with Azure.
Sweet.
So cool stuff, but definitely something to look through. And I'd say the real gem here is the migration complexity tool for calculating how difficult it's going to be.
Definitely.
So James Newton King has JSON.net, which is probably one of the most well-known JSON third-party libraries. And this is an open-source application. One of the things he talks about, how they decided to rebuild the internal data structures. So before, what would happen is if you had really large JSON data, the way they use that is using linked lists. So if I needed to pull out a property or something, traversing that linked list was really slow.
It's expensive.
Right. So they now use a list internally to store child values and JObject using a combination of a list and a dictionary. So it lets it preserve property order and makes property name lookups 0-1.
Yes.
So.
And they had massive, massive performance gains from doing this.
Look at
I know. It's like.
Yeah, so definitely cool stuff. And even you see it with something as small as 50 properties. But then again, who are these?
Well, 10 properties.
Who are these people that
10 properties, you get a 20 millisecond perf boost. That's huge.
Yeah, but who are the people doing 200 properties? Like, what is 200 properties on a class? I think it's time to refactor.
Before I...
200?
Well, it could have been... you could
200.
Have
200.
Can I talk? Yeah, man, this is what we deal with. You could have a lot of inherited properties. It could be a class with a bunch of inheritance.
The way I look at it is, if you're exposing something via JSON, that's your front end API. So I would hide the stuff you don't actually need.
That is a valid point. But what happens if you're using JSON to go from an internal talk? Between two internal systems.
Why would I have to use JSON if I control both systems? Versus something faster?
I don't know.
Touche, sir. So, anyways, this is cool stuff. And definitely, for people using JSON, you're going to want this version. JSON 4, release 3. Stack Exchange.
Yes.
Love me some Stack Exchange.
Yes.
They actually have some good tags for Windows 8 development and WinRT development already.
Yes.
So the idea is this actually walks through consuming the Stack Exchange API. So I haven't looked yet, but I think this would be another really valuable one to have a Windows Phone app for.
Yes, because so many times I'm at the airport right now, and I'm coding, and I'm like, oh, crap, and I don't know. Like, there's some weird edge case that I'm hitting that I don't know how to solve.
We have been traveling like crazy, so it's, you wake up and you're like, what city am I in? And,
okay.
We'll keep it there.
Next
up, getting to Windows Phone 5. So, this is, 7.5. FAS, which is Fast Application Switching.
Yes.
And TextNAN adding Fast Application Switching to a typical Silverlight app. So, these are Larry Lieberman posted several of these.
Yes.
So, and the code for the projects.
Yeah, so it's all about, so XNA, in 7.5 you can add in Silverlight controls. So, rather than having to rebuild like a button every time, you can leverage stuff from Silverlight in XNA. So now, I believe it requires a new class. So he talks about migrating your current application to Silverlight XNA, then adding in fast application switching to
for
an
XNA.
For
people who don't know fast application switching, that's... You know, when I'm switching apps, it's much faster. I don't need to reload.
Yeah, you don't get that resume thing. It instantly works.
And that's using the Windows 7.5 templates, or aka Mango.
Yes.
For people who don't know.
Yes. DevTools 7.1, consumer name is 7.5.
Yeah, that's not confusing at all. Which brings us to Kevin Ashley's cheat sheets. Live tiles and toolkits. I love these. I love these, especially from a control perspective, the usage considerations.
Yes.
Pano and Pivot's one of those things like, when do I use this? When do I use this? And we had this exact same argument on the phone part, which is, I think we should just use a Pivot. And you guys are like, I love Panos. And we did a combination.
Yes. I did a quick glance at it. Some of the stuff I agree with, some of the stuff actually I disagree with, because he's talking about controls in the Silverlight toolkit that are experimental, like the lockable pivot.
Now he said. Now, what do you disagree with? That he's using experimental controls?
That he's talking about using controls that, from even me trying to play with them, they're experimental. They can easily break.
So if this is okay.
So to me, this is kind of like a cheat sheet. So if I were to give you a cheat sheet, it should be the controls that, you know, are solid and
okay. That's
bulletproof.
Fair. That's fair feedback. That's fair feedback.
But I mean, the controls he does. A lot. If you use them smartly, they're good and they work. But some of the controls are easily breakable. And I personally like it because he pimped the Coding for Fun toolkit in it.
Oh, okay. So let's see. He pimps the stuff you work on, and then you shatter him down.
But no. It was a good. I enjoy how he talks about getting Nougat. Nougat, it makes life so much easier for getting the latest stuff because you just get it basically for free.
Yeah. Yeah. Which brings us to our next article from The Code Project. Multiple face recognition parallel optimization. So this is using EMGU to perform principal component analysis to do multiple face recognition. So it uses .NET Parallel. It's written in C#, and this is the stuff that I absolutely love. So besides having a bunch of math that is then encapsulated in some API, you can go through, see how everything's coded, yep, and then actually use the our parallel task library.
Yes, and you know, I mean, this is really cool. This is a far more advanced system than the Silverlight. What do we call it? Facelight.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a year old now, mm-hmm, maybe a bit more. But yeah, I mean, it's just cool stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I don't remember is what platforms this does run on. We'll have to find out because I don't remember. Okay, so which also does a nice transition to TPL. And this is the test parallel library, and really this is all about how you can do TPL data flow, and that's a new library for building concurrent applications. Basically, it allows you to do primitives for in message passing,
okay,
data flow and pipelining. So if I need to do communication across those, for lack of a better word, and there's really an iSource block and an iTarget block. So there's a ton of stuff that goes into this, and we won't get into the specifics of how TPL goes, but this is another sort of common thing that you want to have a data flow. So I'm doing things in parallel. I need to be able to do different things.
Yep.
I am downloading videos. I'm encoding videos. And then I'm back uploading videos. All those things can happen in parallel, and then how you do the communication across those parallel tasks.
Yep.
So... which brings us to F# I for the C# guy. So besides the fact that there's ponies and rainbows, and the F in F# stands for fun.
I'm pretty sure that's a unicorn.
What did I say?
You said a pony.
I don't see this. I don't see the stick.
I think the little Visual
down?
Studio.
Is that it?
Whatever. Okay. So it goes in and it compares about how the difference between like F#, C#, like the light syntax right there. It you know, it's about 20 lines of code versus 3 lines of code.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, using F#, it does require a kind of a different way of thinking, though.
Yeah, you know, can we zoom in here? Yeah, this kind of does the syntax comparison, but you could, of course, use... this is full properties. You could use auto properties here. And that basically would be, what, 3 lines?
Actually, yeah. I'm kind of surprised they just didn't do a git.
Yeah.
Because they're doing read-only.
Well, whatever.
It is what it is. Next.
Vance Morrison, performance and memory diagnostics. So this is classic Charles at the whiteboard again, and he's talking about how stuff works with garbage collection, the heap, how they actually go about determining application memory leaks, and then optimizing for performance as well. So there's a number of things that they're doing for NGen, a number of different tools that they can use, and he talks about it at a very low level. So lots of cool stuff for people that want that low-level discussion of how And the tools available for performance and memory.
Yeah, there was a talk at Build on performance as well that kind of goes in and talks about, you know, if you do it this way, this happens. If you do it this way, the better way, these ramifications won't happen.
Do you remember the talk to plug it?
I don't. I'm sorry. It was like it was a week ago when I watched it.
Okay.
Fail on my part.
Yeah. So this is .NET 4.5, and this is Oleg and Kevin talking about Math 2.0. So managed accessibility framework, actually used in parts of Visual Studio and certainly other products as well.
Yeah.
The idea is how do you make, rather than rebuilding an extensibility framework, mm-hmm. you can actually use Math to build your own extensibility. And we have this in a couple of Coding for Fun apps.
Yeah, yeah, and then we've talked about doing this in others. I think Arjen Kulp has it in one. I'm just afraid of saying which ones are and which ones aren't right now.
Sure.
Because we have some unannounced projects.
Teaser. But for people who are familiar with Math, you're probably going to want to know what's coming in Math 2.0.
Yep. It's kind of weird not having Glenn Block being the Math person, though.
I know. He's a WCF guy.
I know.
It's weird. It is weird. And speaking of flashbacks, this is one of my favorite conversations. This is Channel 9 Live at Build with Anders. So literally Anders had just given his talk, which, by the way, I recommended a couple weeks ago. It still is, you know, on your must-see
yes,
list.
Yes, that is definitely a must.
I love Roslyn, and he does talk about, C-sharp, async await, some of the futures in C-sharp. Because you basically get a peek into Anders' creative genius. So I love it. It's a must-see, and definitely check it out. Which brings us to Picks of the Week!
Okay.
So this is the GeoAR Toolkit. So the idea is if you have a phone what's the name of the thing that – the motion APIs?
Yes.
The phone does have to have the motion APIs. But the idea is that through the phone, you can watch the YouTube video on this. What you see is, depending on where you point the phone, augmented reality, it actually brings up point of interests based on that location, which is similar to one of the things that we're looking to build for the actual car. And
yes.
Jeff announced this at Build. The idea is while you're driving, you could actually see point of interests as you're driving, as they pop up
yes.
based on this category.
Ironically very good timing that this person released this.
Yeah, so lots of cool stuff in here. And this is specifically for Windows Phone 7.5.
Yes.
And you do need a phone that supports the motion APIs. And it also uses the Bing restaurant search and a bunch of other things as well. So Flickr, Wikipedia, which is kind of interesting.
Yes.
So cool stuff and fun stuff to play with, and it's open source.
So me being the little OCD person for design stuff nowadays, the .NET Metro style app overview. This is a must for basically porting your app.
Mm-hmm.
It goes about like just what APIs that you need to tweak, like going from system that's IO stream begin read and end read. Switch it to a read async function. It goes through and talks about the big chunks on what you need to do.
So if you're a .NET app and you're building Metro style apps, this is your, you did it this way, now do it this way.
Yeah, it's your porting guide, basically.
Yeah.
It's over at MSDN. It is, you know, if you're doing this now, this is the guide for Metro.
Love it. Cool. All right, well, that is our show. Thank you, Clint. And
thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Brian Keller. And we will see you guys next week. Thanks.